love, and angels. So I have a complicated history with our understanding of angels in the 21st century. And I think it started with the relative who would pinch my cheek and say, "Be an angel." And what she really meant was, "Do this for me." This wasn't too far from "bless your heart," which you learn quickly. It sounds like one thing, and it means something completely different. So movies don't help either. So I'm thinking of angels. Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life. "Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings." And so in the movie, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference between people accepting an angel. So there's the little kid Zuzu, who's sentimental, and Nick, who is really sarcastic. So Zuzu's a stupid child. She gets sick because she won't wear her coat, because she doesn't want to crush her rose, which dies anyway. And yet, she's got this childlike wonder. Oh, and do you remember who Nick was? Nick is the guy at the cash register. No sales, shuts the door. No sales, shuts the door. "Look, I'm making angels." What a contrast. And yet, movie angels are wonderful. Think of Cary Grant and the Bishop's Wife. Dudley intervenes in earthly lives, beloved by all, and he nudges people around him into more perfect happiness. Or the littlest angel, the recently dead, rumply, cherubic 4-year-old, who gives a box of his most cherished possessions to the newly born Christ child. And this box shines and becomes the Star of Bethlehem. I love the emotions that these stories evoke. I live with those emotions. This is where you find calm and certainty, the triumph of goodness, the proof of the divine plan. Yeah, we live with those emotions. But these angels aren't real. And that's the mark of our modern mind, right? Is it real or not? So, our idea of angels is as evolved as much as our idea of real. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, angels are visitors. In the New Testament, angels are messengers. All the feather and wings came later. So this is from the philosophical treatise. It's called the Syntopicon. So, influenced by a long religious symbolism in painting and poetry, our imagination responds to the word angel by picturing a winged figure robed in white, having the physical aspect of a human being, the image, common to believers and unbelievers, by which I think they mean people who buy Hallmark cards and watch soccer movies. Contains features which represent some of the elements and the meaning and the abstract conception of angels found in the writings of Judaic and Christian theologians heavily influenced by Persian philosophers. The human appearance suggests that angels like us are persons, most essentially characterized by human intelligence. The wings suggest the function of angels, their service as messengers from God to us. The aura of light which surrounds them signifies, according to established conventions of symbolism, the spirituality of angels. So, angels with bodies are a pictorial metaphor of God's spirit visible to humankind. Okay, we're done with the definition-y bit. So, the piece I like most about all of that is our imagination responds. We learn about angels in stories, so I have a few stories to share. I have an Irish heritage. That's where the stories come from. But you'll see structure, so that's my German bit. So, first chapter of Luke 26 to 38. So, Gabriel, an angel, visits Mary. It's the announcement of the birth of Jesus. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, Gabriel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob. That kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I haven't had sex." And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called holy." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left. Now, hold on to your feelings. No exposition, except for this. Women, men, and those in between experience this passage profoundly differently. I think this is one spot in the Bible where it's almost like a spiritual Rorschach test. You tell me how you understand that, and I can tell there's a lot of spirituality that comes through in your understanding. So, the angel visit, there's a message from beyond the normal. Extreme fear. And then there's action. So this story is called The Visitation in the IKEA line. So I was just about to step into the cashier's line at IKEA carrying batteries, a bag of tea lights, and a frying pan when a woman with a Jesus Saves sweatshirt cut right in front of me. With an overburdened cartload of vases, knickknacks, and fake flowers. My thoughts were neither angelic nor Christian. "I'm so glad they got more cashiers today," she said to me. And I smiled and replied, "Yes, it is a wonderful day." Then between one heaving breath and the next, she said, "Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And I replied, after ungritting 31 of my teeth, "Why, yes, I have." Because I was feeling like, have a magical Disney day. And she said, "Oh, I'm so glad. It makes such a difference in how you live life, you know?" And I knew what she meant, although I understood through my experience differently. She was right. But we spoke different spiritual languages. "That's a lot of stuff in your cart," so I remarked, both curious and unintentionally rude. "Well, you know, we've got a lot of people in our church who can't get out, you know. And what I thought that what I would do, you know, was to make something for them. You know, let them know they ain't forgotten. It's the thought that counts, you know. But sometimes having a reminder makes it better." And as she turned to load up the conveyor with her gifts, I was like, "Oh." There was an unexpected message to me here. My attitude about this woman and her type, whom I would have preferred to deck out with that frying pan I was holding, my attitude was injuring me. I was afraid of what I had felt about someone I did not know. This had to change. This is the gospel. It comes from the first chapter of Matthew. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Now, such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife into his home. So the guy in our nativity, he only gets a dream of an angel. I see a team of Hollywood writers looking at this biblical narrative like, who wrote this script? Not getting it. Why is the dude sticking with the used chick? You know, this does not sell to Hollywood. Can we write in a subplot here? You know, maybe a high school romance, a rebound relationship? No. So when we think of Jacob, think of another person who dreamed. In the half-wakefulness of Jacob's body, in his fatigue, after the fear and the wrestling with an angel, Jacob was changed. He became Israel. So this is called Cancer the Bouquet in Public Impressions. I was probably six. "That is one weird bouquet," I told my mom. "It's a special bouquet," she said. "It's made for someone who can't see very well anymore. This is lamb's ear for softness, and blooming sage for fuzzy fragrance, a sprig of lavender, some mint." You get the idea. Yeah, so it smells okay. And my mom had this slight smile of exasperation. "Who's it for?" I've never learned to stop asking questions, even when it really isn't any of my business. "It's for Manette." Oh. My eyes must have gotten super saucer-sized. "Yeah, she's lived with cancer for a long time, and she's starting to let go." This was followed by a gentle conversation about what cancer was and how you couldn't catch it like the measles and, you know, good people, bad people. Because I'd heard about Manette, people talked about her because she didn't take wine at communion anymore. I remember Mrs. Cartwright saying Manette couldn't be trusted because she had those people at her house and at really strange hours. What I learned later was that Manette had found out there was no AA chapter in our small town. So having had the strength and the blessing to get a second life, she started a local AA chapter so that other people could have the same chance, the unasked for choice. The message that I got was that there is often this huge disconnect between public perception and what's going on in people's lives. And when life works, is it the same working for all? The cherub in the manger makes promises that I can't understand because my story's different. Good Christian people don't always visit the sinner when he, she, they need comfort. But Jesus does. There's so much sorrow and misunderstanding and a sense of protection when we have privacy. And so here we have a special bouquet to make a simple change. And I'm not sure where the angel is in this story. I'm not sure who spoke with a God voice in those moments. So Luke 2, starting with chapter 8, the birth of Jesus. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news, great joy. It will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, the Savior has been born to you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." But I'm getting ahead of ourselves, aren't I? This is the part of the story where the explosion of God's intention hits the everybody. Even the shepherds. Even us. "For when you hear God's message, there is fear. There is discomfort. But there will be change." So here's my codicil. Angels. There has to be more than one kind. First, the message. Something outside of anything we can know. Something outside of ourselves. Then fear. The, "Oh hell, I thought I was doing it right" moment. But ouch, now I get it. And always a before and an after. Things aren't the same after an angel visit. But are angels real? I don't know what an angel is, really, but this is what I do know. I've seen what happens when God touches a moment. The blast of loving, ever always, comes into this now. Unseen. Like a wind that could be a zephyr or a hurricane. The power of God and the angels isn't in seeing the feathers and pressing the heavenly flesh, but in witnessing the change that happens after a visit. It's like love. You can't see it, but you can see what happens when it's absent, and the differences that show in people when love is alive and shared. Nurtured, thriving. That is real. So our human role, our purpose, is to be a conduit for the love that Jesus showed us in his life. The life that the Spirit brings to our togetherness. So, be an angel. Your comments?